Let's get ready to study God's Word. Greetings to one and all. Welcome to another episode of Rightly Divide the Word of Truth. This is Andrew S. Baker, and it's time for another devotional study. Please be sure to visit us at biblestudy.asbzone.com, where you can find links to our previous episodes and various Bible study resources. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into our study. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we have the privilege of studying your word this way and that we are able to share it through this medium. We ask that you will please be with the technology, help us that we will rightly understand your word and rightly divide your words of truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's study is entitled, The Many Faces of Faithlessness. The Many Faces of Faithlessness. We're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 for our memory passage. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us. And they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. Deuteronomy 1, 21 and 22. Now, when you look at this passage, what follows this verse, in verse 23, Moses says, And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain and came unto the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, It is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Okay. Oftentimes when we look at this story, we come at it from the earlier passage in Numbers chapter 13. And in Numbers chapter 13, what we read there is, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Okay, so people come to the book of Numbers before the book of Deuteronomy, and they read this and they say, the Lord told them to go up and do it. But when you look at Deuteronomy, starting in verse 19 of chapter 1, it says, And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which he saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites. And the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, Ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And then our memory verse. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and unto what cities we shall come. Okay, when you put these two passages together, you understand the sequence. Okay, you understand the sequence. If God is telling them that they need to send spies first, then Moses would have no business telling them they need to go up directly. So if you look at the sequence, Moses tells them, he's relaying in Deuteronomy, it's kind of his diary, and his last exhortation and preaching before he departs from them. And you see in Deuteronomy, he says to them, we went all this way and we came to this place and we were directed by God to go here. And we got to the mountains. We got to Kadesh Barnea. We arrived at Kadesh Barnea, according to the commandment of God. And I said to you at that time, okay, we're in the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give to us. Behold, the Lord hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. Don't fear. Don't be discouraged. But the people came to Moses and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. Okay, the saying pleased him well, because even to Moses, it looked like they were ready to go. It looked like they had just basically said, okay, we're ready to do this. Let's send some people ahead of us so we can map this out and plan it properly. The problem was, it was faithless. Now, God doesn't say anything. And sometimes I think in eternity, we're going to learn why God sometimes doesn't even hint that there's going to be an issue. God doesn't say anything. Moses clearly goes to God and says, hey, the people would like to send some spies. How should we go about that? And the Lord said, send them one of each tribe, of every tribe of their fathers, a ruler among them. Don't send any wimpy people. Make sure you send some people that should be strong, should be valiant, should have wisdom and understanding. Send people that have clout, influence, that are seasoned. And they went. The reason this is faithless, because it may not be obvious to everyone. God had promised them the land, and not just them, and not just recently. The promise of this land is the promise to Abraham, right? God has been promising since the Garden of Eden a number of things. And some of those things are really far off and they're hazy in the sense of not getting any definitive timeline. And some of those things are nearer. They're part of the big picture. And some of them are nearer than other things. And over time, specifics came out. So Adam and Eve are told in the garden that someone's going to come and take care of the serpent. The promise of the fathers continues for a while. There's some apostasy and things that happen, right? Because we end up with the flood and we have some other issues with the mingling of the righteous and the wicked, where it gets blurred. And God again has to call out a people. So he calls out Abraham. He says, go to a land that I'm going to show you. And he gives him a smaller piece of the big promise, right? And technically, I shouldn't say that. He gives him the promise, the full promise, but it's in two parts. Abraham is going to inherit the world. He's the father of the faithful. He's going to inherit the world. All of the promises we have are through Abraham in Christ. Okay. So he's promised the world. As a token of that promise, God gives him a certain amount of land, which is Israel. And God doesn't just give it to him to say, hold on to this so that you know that I'm serious about this other promise. But even the giving of the land is essential to the overall promise, because the giving of the land enables the descendants of Abraham, mostly spiritual descendants, but physical descendants were supposed to stay in line with the spiritual. It allows the descendants of Abraham to occupy a critical space on the planet where a lot of traffic came through from Europe and from Asia and from Africa. Okay? Lots of traffic comes through there for a variety of reasons, and still today. So the idea was to put Israel in this place where their fidelity to God, he would be able to bless them in a way that would identify them as his chosen people and cause other people to gravitate there so that other people would learn of the gospel. Now, we have an example of how that was supposed to work properly. And we have a couple examples. One would be the Queen of Sheba. She hears of the fame of Solomon. She comes up. She witnesses everything about him, including his worship. Right? Not just his riches and his kingdom in a general sense. Not just his throne, but the temple and the worship. So she comes. Years later, we end up with, we could even say Naaman. So Naaman's situation is Naaman is pulled there because Naaman needs to be healed, and he hears indirectly that healing is possible there. But also the Ethiopian eunuch, who obviously has a religious experience that takes him to Canaan, to Israel, to Jerusalem. And as he's going back, God sends Philip. God sends Philip to educate him and enlighten him further. Okay. So it was always God's design. That's why Israel is there. The promise was not just about giving them stuff. The promise was situating them where they would be able to evangelize, even indirectly. But they were supposed to be doing it directly too. So that promise to Abraham has those two portions. It has the preparatory work, but ultimately the promise is for the whole world. And God has been promising that to Abraham at this point where we are in Deuteronomy and Numbers for 400 years, a little over. Okay, so just over 400 years, Abraham and his descendants have been promised this land. So now the children of Israel, who were languishing in Egypt during their captivity, during their bondage, they've now been let out. God has worked on them, gotten them situated, put them in order, established them, giving them the priesthood and worship services. All sorts of things have been established. And it is time for them to inherit the land. Moses tells them, here's the land that God has given you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be fearful. All right? If someone's warning you not to be afraid, clearly there are things there that would make you afraid if you weren't getting this encouragement, if you were surprised by them. So he's encouraging them. He wouldn't say, don't be afraid if there was nothing. He says it. They say, we're going to send men before us. Moses says, okay, sounds good. You guys are going to actually act on this thing. Good. It's about time you start to move forward in a direction. And he goes to God and gets instructions. God says, listen, send them, pick men of each household and send them. Okay? And look at the way God says it. Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, which I give. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Okay? God has already promised the land. They are not moving in accordance with that promise. What they're doing seems reasonable. It seems like they should guide, you know, be careful, judicious in how they're moving, plan, strategize. But it should be noted that they haven't planned anything up to this point. They have not planned anything. Up to this point, it hasn't been about them. Hasn't been them at all. When they got into Egypt, it wasn't even because they planned. A famine came upon the land. They went down into Egypt to buy bread. Joseph was revealed to them. And then Joseph said, come on down here because I can nourish you up close. It's going to be harder for me to do that when you guys are far away. And that's why they were in Egypt. And then they got caught up in Egypt doing things they shouldn't. Then another Pharaoh arises and now bondage comes into play. And they end up in a very bad situation. The Lord comes and delivers them. He says, okay, got you out of there, got you prepped up. Now I'm ready for you guys to go into the land that I have given you. And they say, let's be prudent about this. Let's send some spies to tell us how we ought to go. We have to understand that when God has established something for us to do, not every facet of life is as arranged as this one was. But there are times where we have a good sense of what God wants us to do. But we hedge. And we try to make sure that we're doing the right thing. And we don't move forward. They were faithless here because God had promised them the land. This was a multi-generation promise. They were now in the fifth generation. Well, actually, I take that back. They were going to be. Once they spent an extra 40 years in the wilderness, they were going to. This was the fourth generation, right? Abraham had longed for this, and so had others. This was their opportunity. And instead of accepting it, they made what looked like a reasonable plan, but it was just another face of faithlessness. We have to be very careful that we don't couch our faithlessness behind all kinds of care and preparation. There are things that we need to do and pay attention to. Jesus says, count the cost, right? And he gave some scenarios. Count the cost before you go to buy something. Count the cost before you go to build something. Count the cost before you engage in conflict. So that's a legitimate concern. But at the same time, imagine, just to make the situation more obvious. Imagine if every person that Christ came to heal them, if every time he had reached out his hand or said something to someone to heal them, imagine if each time they had said, well, hold on now. How does this line up with the medical information that we have available to us? Let me check with my doctor and find out if I should pursue this course, right? We look at that and we say, that's insane. It's a miracle. It's different. But it's not really different. The Lord God of Israel has led his people to a particular place. Moses says that carefully. Moses said that carefully. We departed from Horeb. We went through all the great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. We traveled as the Lord our God commanded us. In Numbers chapter 9, that's made very evident in a series of passages where Moses is just shown to move the people of Israel at the commandment of God. And so God has brought them to the place where they're going to enter Canaan. And God says, okay, it's time. Get ready to enter. And they say, we have to do a feasibility study. We need to get some people and check it out. We need to make sure we understand what we're getting into so that they will tell us the way in which we should go. And we understand where that story went. We see what happened. They sent people and the people spied out the land, but unfortunately they came back with human vision. And instead of saying, the place is awesome, let's go the way the Lord sent us, let's pray for direction of the Lord, they said, it looks great, but it doesn't look like a place we should be going. And they brought up an evil report against the land. We have to be very careful that we don't try to be extra cautious in the face of direct testimony from God to move in a particular direction in our lives. And if we're unsure that we have direct testimony or we're unsure of the destination, we should take the same approach that Gideon took. Pray about it. Ask the Lord to help you to understand what his will is, and then move in accordance with that. It's easy for us to get very reluctant to move. I myself am somewhat risk averse. Don't like engaging in risk necessarily, unnecessarily. And that can be problematic. When God wants me to do something, and I know that he wants it, but I'm trying to make sure that I dot all I's and cross all T's before venturing. And, you know, God isn't trying to make us reckless, but he needs us to trust him more than we trust ourselves and our senses. Because at the end of the day, he's the only one that we can trust. All of those other things can be manipulated. My prayer is that we will recognize when God is speaking to us and leading us, and that we will seek his guidance rather than the guidance of other men and women. And I'm not saying that to mean that you should ignore counsel from godly people or even prudent secular counsel. There may be something that someone says, are you sure you should be doing that? And they explain themselves. We shouldn't just ignore counsel. So I'm not advocating for people to just say, oh, God is telling me everything I need. Don't speak to me. But I am saying, when you know what God's will is, then following in those footsteps is what we need to be doing. And when we are unsure of his will, we need to pray. Fast and pray if necessary. But when we have direct instruction from God, and we choose to rely on human beings, even if they are otherwise godly human beings, we're putting ourselves in a very bad place. Deuteronomy 1, 21 and 22 says, behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy and goodness to us. We thank you for just protecting us, keeping us safe, from harm and from danger. We thank you for these lessons, especially this lesson about the different faces of faithlessness. Help us not to get caught up in handling our own business so that we ignore direction from God and don't bring our concerns and cares to him to lead us and guide us. Please be with all those who are listening. Please be with this ministry. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. You can reach us via email at biblequestions@asbzone.com. We look forward to hearing from you, whether you have questions, comments, suggestions, or concerns. We also recommend that you check out the True Wisdom podcast, where Robert and I discuss Bible stories and topics together. Both of these podcasts can be found on over a dozen platforms, including Google, Apple, Spotify, and Amazon. Please remember our ministries in your prayers. Until we meet again next time, may God richly bless you as you prayerfully study and share his holy word.